You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Wow, very serious, sad news overnight. 17-year-old died after serious car crash. Let's pick up the news from Channel 12.
News from overnight in Cumberland. We now have an update from Cumberland Police on what we knew was a serious crash. We now know from police that it was fatal. We're told by Chief Matthew Benson a 17-year-old boy was killed in this crash. It happened around 10:45 last night on Menden Road, which was closed down in both directions overnight as police investigated and cleared the scene. We're told the driver was taken to the hospital and died. The driver of the other vehicle that the car crashed into was also brought to the hospital. And we also spoke with the owner of another car that was hit after that crash. Joe Cortez will have full updates for us throughout the day. Latest update always on WPRI.com.
Again, horrible news out of Cumberland, 17 years old. Crews responded. You know, I actually heard about this accident last night, but it was a very busy day. Menden Road, right at 10:45. One car on its side, another heavy front-end damage. So the teen was driving south in the northbound lane when he struck another car that was pulling out from a side road. I'm going to repeat that. The investigation says the teen was driving south in the northbound lane. Struck another car. Teen's vehicle left the roadway, took out a utility pole and fire hydrant before tumbling a great distance, hitting a parked car before resting on its side. The victim was partially ejected, was not wearing his seatbelt, according to police. Police said the driver of the other vehicle refused medical assistance on the scene, and the road was shut down. Several hours reopened at 6 o'clock. Speed, driving behavior, contributing factors in the crash. Now, this is obviously devastating news. You hate to hear of any young person, but as we walk through this, number one, almost 11 o'clock, 17 years old. No seatbelt. Driving south in the northbound lane. Left the roadway. Took out utility pole fire hydrant. Now, it was dry last night, and a lot of the snow and ice has melted. Victim partially ejected, not wearing his seatbelt. Don't have any details yet. I'm sure as the day goes on, word will start to filter out, if it hasn't already, exactly what happened. But you hate to just see a story like this. Just even the headline alone. 17-year-old killed in Cumberland crash. All right, well, let's make it earlier. 10:45, 17 years old. You know, I could see school night. It's not that late, be home by 11. But I don't get the no seatbelt. And apparently speed was involved. And plus you're on the wrong side of the road. So, and the driving behavior, I don't understand that part either. The driver that was okay, that refused medical assistance, that had damage, I mean, what could have happened to that individual? You know, this is another example of you have to be so cautious on the roadway, because you could just be going along doing everything right, and then you encounter a driver like this. So I'm sure word will filter out exactly who this individual is, but there's so much preventable with this, starting with the seatbelt. I remember years ago, a friend of mine always used to say that a state trooper told him, and he would point to the seatbelt and say, I never removed someone in all my years. It was an older trooper. I never removed someone from a vehicle who was not alive that was wearing one of these. Meaning you greatly increase the chances your chances, I should say, of surviving any type of incident or accident like this if at the least you have your seatbelt on. So, and totally preventable, not God's will. He's not in a better place. Needed to be arriving safely wherever he was going. So, but hate to even see something like this. A lot of lives. 17-year-old boy has died. Serious 2-car crash in Cumberland. And again, Menden Road, 1045 on Thursday night. But Cumberland Police Chief Benson, excellent job with, you know, they have to recreate what happened. And they were out there pretty much all night trying to do that. And then dealing with these very difficult end result circumstances. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvement, call them today for a free quote. You can also find them on Facebook, 401-323-9252. 323-9252, AJ, drywall, plasters, home improvement, frame to finish basements. What a difference it'll make in your basement. Acoustic ceilings. Look how beautiful your ceiling could be. New homes, additions. Also, commercial rehabs, painting, remodeling. Contact them today. It's a family-run business. AJ, drywall, plaster, home improvements. Call for a free quote. What a difference they'll make in your home, your ceilings, floors, basements. 401-323-9252. What a difference. Beautiful walls and ceilings. 401-323-9252. You can also find them on Facebook. It's AJ Drywall Plaster and Home Improvements for your home or business. You're listening to The John DePietro Show. So how bad is the news with the bridge, of which they don't have any answers? They don't have a plan. Governor McKee essentially has been in hiding all week, except seeking out, safe forums, if any at all. But WPRI Channel 12, crash calls have more than doubled since the Washington Bridge closure. Now, this is not good, especially for the new plan that they're trying, which is going to be where they're going to have 6 lanes of traffic total, 3 on each side, 6 lanes of traffic. Now, Channel 12 broke down some of the numbers, and I think this is going to get even worse now that, again, they're going to increase the number of vehicles. Let's go to that Channel 12 report.
Backups. According to data from state police, there has been roughly twice as many calls for accidents in the westbound lane than eastbound lane.
In November of last year, the most common call for service on 195 was a motor vehicle stop. But data shows that changed when the Washington Bridge shut down. Car accidents. This was traffic reporter Melissa Sardelli on Thursday morning.
This does not look good at all.
This is 195, so typical delays.
Okay.
But now we have a crash up.
Oh, that makes it worse.
It certainly does make it worse.
There were 122 calls for accidents between December 11th and January 10th, compared to 51 in November. State police say they can receive multiple calls for the same crash, but, quote, that is not the norm. State Senator Pamela Loria says RIDOT Director Peter Alviti acknowledged the increase on a weekly call with East Bay lawmakers earlier this month.
That it was not atypical for when they have had changes in traffic patterns.
State police data obtained by Target 12 shows the highest number of calls for service was 5 p.m., with crashes far higher during peak travel times. A spokesperson for RIDOT says multiple variables can lead to an increase in accidents, including weather, but adds in part, RIDOT constantly monitors traffic flow when these types of changes are made and makes adjustments as necessary to make traffic flow more efficiently. Providence Fire Chief Derek Silva says since the bridge closure, traffic has impacted how they respond to these types of calls.
But it's definitely made it more challenging to respond to those areas, finding alternate routes.
The vast majority of calls for accidents were in East Providence, nearly 100. Mayor Bob DeSilva says the increase makes sense given that's where the majority of the traffic is.
They're merging lanes, so I fully understand why we have a high number. in East Providence.
What this data does not tell us is how severe crashes were on 195, but there has been no reported fatal crashes since the bridge closure. With the Target 12 investigators, Kate Wilkinson, 12 News.
Now that's only going to get worse, as we know. This business, they're gonna tighten the lanes and to add extra lanes, and they're expecting that everyone is suddenly going to drop down to 40 miles an hour. I'm not as convinced. Look at what happened, folks, as far as motor vehicle accidents. It was an 85-year-old who was fatally killed in Seekonk on Thursday. You have the 17-year-old from Woonsocket, 17-year-old Woonsocket youth. He was the one driving the vehicle that crashed on Menden Road. And the details of that are, you know, still formulating and coming out, but in essence, that the car was absolutely just destroyed last night, that vehicle. And some of the details on that are the crash of that vehicle. When you see some of the photos, and again, I want to credit NBC 10. They were obviously on scene. I mean, the front end of the car that was hit, and then you had the other vehicle that, you know, rolled over, came over onto its side. Just really, really brutal last night. Now, I'm also learning the vehicle, this is a 17-year-old from Woonsocket. His vehicle exited the roadway, struck a telephone pole fire hydrant before returning to the roadway. Vehicle came to a rest on its side near Grand Avenue, and then the teen was partially ejected. The investigators, this is also interesting, found a device that had been installed to prevent the buckle from being inserted. Now, that doesn't make any sense to me at all. So you want to make sure and put in a device so you don't have to wear your seatbelt. I really don't understand how something like that happens. But the photos of what that vehicle looks like after the crash are really, really horrific. I want to, I did earlier play, but the Channel 12 portion of this, but I'm at a loss to, why would someone have a device like that so you don't have to wear your seatbelt? I mean, that makes no sense to me whatsoever. But 17-year-old from Woonsocket is then the one. Let me go. Channel 10 did have a reporter there this morning. I want to play some of this.
Road right off of Route 99. The road is still closed in both directions because of what looked like a head-on crash overnight. You can see tow trucks are still here out on scene. I've seen two cars totaled, an SUV and a Nissan Altima. The front bumpers and windshields of both of those cars are destroyed. There's also debris and car parts scattered across the road. You can see a utility pole also broke in half. There's also a car in a driveway at a home that I saw that looked like it was damaged, a passenger door dented in right in front of where that crash happened. This is a look at when the crash first happened around 11 last night. So crews have been out here investigating and cleaning up for more than 6 hours now. I did talk to a neighbor just a few minutes ago. He says he didn't hear anything overnight, but he says there have been many crashes here over the years. We are told there are serious injuries, but police have not confirmed the extent of those injuries. So we are still working to figure that out. It does look like police are getting ready, though, to reopen the road. Some of the debris has been cleared out. So I would say within the next hour or so, hopefully.
Okay, so that was earlier, and that was NBC 10. And then we did learn a 17-year-old from Woonsocket is the one that died in that crash. So they've obviously have more details since that report was filed. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. AEP Services. They take great pride installing fences of all kinds, vinyl, wood, aluminum, chain link, experience, quality, integrity. Call AEP Services today for a quality fence, home or business, 401-228-7190, 401-228-7190. Residential fence, commercial fence, steel, wood guard, rail, they have it all. Beautiful aluminum product, decorative. landscape. It adds a lot to it for your stunning property. Call the experts today, AEP Services, 401-228-7190. Residential or commercial, why not enjoy your backyard, a little privacy, or maybe keep a pet or young children inside? Remember, they also have fences. They're resilient, water-resistant. Call today, 401-228-7190. Free quote, AEP Services, the fence experts, 401-228-7190. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Boy, the number crashes. I'm seeing woman charged with OUI following head-on crash with an ambulance in Foxborough. Wow. It just continues. This is insanity how much of this is happening. U-Haul truck crashes into the porch of a Pawtucket home. Wow, it is absolutely nonstop. And then, of course, you had the situation at Shea High School in Pawtucket. We were on scene there. And, I mean, that was where you had a student that, I mean, the word was that a gun was found. Now, it turns out it was an 18-year-old student. We do have a video of being on scene. And we were also learning. Now, we broke this story, but I'll give them credit. They have more details. Channel 10 does. ICE has arrested, enforcement removal, three unlawful Portuguese nationals involved the death of the child in Pawtucket. So we broke the story on Saturday, February 17th. The three women, Carla Souza, she's the one in the fake marriage with the father that strangled the little one-year-old boy, Santiago, 22-year-old Carolina Lito, and 25-year-old Daniela Lito. So Daniela was the mother of the little boy. Carolina was involved in a relationship with Carla, felony child endangerment. One woman has been admitted to the U.S. on a, listen to this, a non-immigrant tourist visa in April of 1998, and has remained here for more than 25 years beyond the terms of the visa. So I want to repeat that. So she came here on a non-immigrant tourist visa in April of 98 and is still here. I think that's the one with the loudmouth mother. She doesn't belong here. But notice when asked, they'll say, oh no, I got a visa to come here. Yeah, and it expired 25 years ago. The other two were admitted to the U.S. on a visa waiver program, according to ICE. One woman came July of 2016, the other in March of 22. Both violated the terms of their visa waivers. ICE spokesman told NBC 10 the three women are in custody and will face removal proceedings. The alleged crimes of these unlawfully present individuals result in the death of an innocent child. Those who commit the crimes against children must be held accountable. That's Todd Lyons, Boston Field Office of ICE. Unlawfully present foreign nationals posing a danger to our New England communities cannot expect to escape the consequences of their actions. Now, Pawtucket Police told NBC 10 early February they arrested, we have this obviously, Souza, Carolina Lito, Daniela Jow Resendez. They responded to the call, unresponsive one-year-old. Child had significant bruising to his facial area, and that's little Santiago, pronounced dead at Hasbro Children's Hospital. Jao Resendez, the father, was charged manslaughter, three counts of second-degree child abuse, child endangerment. So, and then he's not back in court until May. But that's it. All of them are in illegal. I bet her mother's here illegally. The mother that was sounding off in you know, just like doing these videos where she's just essentially screaming at everyone. All right, I want to go to, so we were on scene yesterday, on the scene live stream with at Shea in Pawtucket, where you had the student that essentially, I don't know, they didn't find the gun. It could have been on another student, but it was on lockdown. And that was the first time I've seen we had the long guns out where police were going in and out of the school and they had, you know, as we call them, the long guns out. So we were on scene yesterday. I want to hear how Channel 10 ends up covering this story. Here we go.
Pawtucket police responded in full force after a rumor about a gun started spreading around Shea High School here behind me. But police say everyone is safe and no such gun was ever found. Outside Pawtucket's Shea High School, parents were inconsolable, seeing dozens of police respond with weapons drawn while their kids were inside on lockdown.
The teachers said that if they started hearing anything down the hallway, that they would put their desks against the doors.
And I'd rather be in there than my son be in there.
Frustrations boiling over what they say was a lack of communication from school leaders about what was happening inside the school.
I'm not finding it. They better be something done with this.
Begging police and the district to tell them what was going on.
We're relying on our kids to communicate with us at this point to tell us step by step what's going on. Our kids are hiding underneath desks and bundled up under chairs and things.
I was petrified. I was beside myself. I've never driven so fast in my life to get somewhere. And I'm wondering what's going on and why we're not getting any information.
Students were eventually dismissed about a half hour early. Pawtucket police later sharing with NBC 10, a school resource officer received a report of a student with a gun.
Why leave them in there if there's someone in there with a gun? Why leave them in there? Find the kid. Let the rest of them out. What if he feels like he wants to start shooting? Then what?
Police say no gun was found. The student was charged with disorderly conduct, disturbance of public assemblies.
It makes me very unsettled. I don't even know if I want to send my child to school tomorrow.
While no one was injured, many remained shaken up by the thought of how much worse it could have been.
I just everybody hug your children tonight.
And police.
Well, and I also want to speak out. Now, several things about this. First of all, they're treating it like it would be a school shooter. This is not a situation of a school shooter. This is more just a student that either has a weapon or was telling people he had a weapon. Or, I mean, that's what it really comes down to. This is not, they're all, meaning the parents, they're putting everything all together. This is not like a school shooter who arrives and then starts shooting at the school. This is a student at Shea that had a weapon, and he probably does have a weapon. And maybe they just didn't find the weapon, or maybe he slid it to one of his friends who was able to then get out of the school. And maybe they have a place in the school where they hide it. Who knows? Locker, what have you. But this is not. They're treating it all the same. And for this business of, well, they should just get the kids out of there, well, then you don't know who has the weapon. Then how do you know that the person that has the gun? I mean, as someone that was there on scene, the parents were totally, they were not helping the situation. Parents need to, you need to show discipline, let the police do their job. The parents you just heard criticizing there, one of the women, I was there, that was making the most noise, who was the first one to show up, I'm pretty sure it was her son that was arrested. So it's not, we're not getting answers, they need to do this. These people have no idea. They're confusing someone with a gun. It doesn't mean he was going to shoot it and use it in the school. Maybe something was going to happen after school. Maybe someone threatened him. But they're conflating and putting everything all together. And that's not how it went down. So, all right, there's a lot of news there. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. A great meal, a great time is waiting for you at the Cohasset Inn. Rhode Island tradition since 1977, 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick. They have a large dining room, perfect, maybe a group, maybe a collation, lunch. The Cohasset Inn, getting a big group together, or maybe just you alone, or a date. 226 Cohasset Avenue, West Warwick, great staff, terrific food. They're always working on the menu, and they also have a nice lounge as well. You have the market at Cohasset right there. They're open 7 days a week. I'll see you for a great meal. Make it the Cohasset Inn. Folks, you're listening to The John DePietro Show. Joining us right now, he is a columnist for the Boston Globe. And on top of that, wow, what an honor. Grand Marshal in the St. Patrick's Day Providence Parade. It is columnist Dan McGowan. And Dan, first of all, congratulations and pictures and coverage that I saw, that just take us inside. That was a fantastic dinner, and the big event is still coming up.
Yeah, very much so. Thank you, John. The funniest part of this, and I got heckled a little bit last night, is while my last name is McGowan, my family's actually Scottish, not Irish. So it was the scandal of the room last night that they let us, a first generation American here. My father grew up in Glasgow and moved here as a teenager. But they accepted me, welcomed me with open arms, and it was an honor. This has been a process for a really long time. So the way it works is they make you the deputy grand marshal the year before. So last year I was the deputy grand marshal with Mary McElroy, the federal judge, as the grand marshal. This year, of course, I sort of get the promotion. You give a big speech, you talk about community and your family and that kind of thing. It was a really nice room to be in. And like you said, this is just the beginning. March 9th, so next Saturday, is the parade in Providence. So I'll march in the parade. Would love to see anyone who enjoys you and I talking every single week. Would love to see people out there and, celebrating what is a very fun event in Providence. There's lots of, everybody's happy, lots of kids, lots of beer, lots of, you never see much controversy behind the St. Patrick's Day parade.
Has Dan McGowan, have you ever visited Scotland?
I haven't. This, John, when I was a little kid, very little, I was probably 5 or 6, my grandpa wanted to take me, and I chickened out and wouldn't get on the plane, which is crazy. I can't believe they didn't just force me onto the plane. So I have never been. My sister, who was in town from Seattle last night, she's gone a couple of times, and I'll go one further. So here's the kid who's not, right, who's Scottish, not Irish. My family in Scotland, John, owns an Italian restaurant in Glasgow.
Whoa. I have actually, I have visited Scotland. When I was on a trip to London, we went there. One of my best friends from college has family there, and we visited the Edinburgh Castle in Scotland. Yeah, Scotland is, it's a fantastic country. Now, this is some time ago, but and also if people remember, that's where I can see why this, that's where Nick Valadieri, whatever his name is, was hiding out.
Do you know, John? So what's so funny is I stay in touch with my family in Scotland, my father's side. And when the Nick Aliverdian stuff blew up, they all reached out, and I had written a bunch about him. And so I sent them all my articles because they were glued to this story in Scotland. It was front page of all the tabloids. And the cool thing about as you know, whether it's England, Scotland, Ireland, the journalism there is really fun. It's much more tabloidy, much more like the New York Post, but way more salacious. And so they had a great time with the Nicholas Aliverdian story.
Yeah, I have a great photo with my friends right at the Edinburgh Castle. Now, also Dan McGowan, as the photo that I saw, was that former chief Hugh Clemens sitting right there up in front at one of the top tables?
It was. They welcomed back several grand marshals, previous grand marshals, Hugh Clemens being one of them. He's in town, of course. He's being honored on Friday. They're going to name the auditorium and the public safety complex after him. And he walked in, and I gave him a hug, and I said, I can't believe you. You're so busy. You're in D.C. You're all over the world or all over the country. And he said, I wouldn't have missed this. And he even reminded me, he said, I'm coming to the parade next week too. So I'll be back here. It was a good crowd. Judge Frank Garrigan, former Grand Marshal, was there. Just lots of, what you see and what, to be honest, what even I probably didn't quite appreciate is how much, the folks who have been honored over the years really cherish the entire real month of March, I would say, but this event last night, the Grand Marshal dinner, we raised a lot of money. We raised some money for a nonprofit that's close to my heart. And you really see how much people care and have a great time. It's just kind of a beautiful sight to see. It was an honor to be a part of it.
Now, also, I saw Speaker Sakachi was there, and his right hand, Chris Pelajowski. I saw union boss George Nee sitting at the table with Hugh Clements.
Grand Marshal.
The question is, so was Governor McKee there, Dan McGowan?
Governor McKee was not there. He did, I believe he sent a couple of staff members who were there. So Governor McKee was not there. The mayor was there. And, you know, look, I people are busy. I get it. I you know, it is what it is. I will give credit to Speaker Shikarchi because normally, and I wouldn't blame any politician for this, normally what the politicians do is you show up for the, you know, the cocktail hour and you, and then you, you know, you leave. And afterwards, Speaker Shikarchi stayed the entire night. And that's a long night. That's a 3 or 4 hour night. And I walked up to him afterwards and I shook his hand and I said, Speaker, I can't believe you stayed. And he joked with me and he said, I thought it was a roast. I thought I was going to get to speak about you, which was kind of funny. But it was nice to see him. You know, he's always supportive, even when he knows that, you know, my actual job is to hold him accountable.
No, he absolutely is. All your oil needs, make it Henry Oil. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Reliable, affordable fuel oil delivery. Call Henry Oil today. Fuel oil, diesel, gasoline delivery. It's Henry Oil, residential, commercial fuel oil delivery since 1947. They also have budget plans, service contracts, lock and cap pricing. You can depend on Henry Oil. Call them today, 401-521-0200. Serving most of Rhode Island and southeastern Mass. We got a long way to go with winter. Make sure that tank is filled. Call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. Henry Oil, a local family-run business since 1947 that you can depend on. For all your oil needs, call Henry Oil today, 401-521-0200. It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant. Stop in and see Marie, that historic white church. Shop local, inside, all quality products, vitamins, herbal remedies, trusted companies. They understand quality, integrity. It's My Health. It's all about your health. Local products, ice AE, honey, maple syrup, beef fresh gum. You know, they carry over 250 bulk herbs, teas, and spices that can be purchased by the ounce, plus box herbs and teas, hemp and CBD products, and much more natural skincare products. Stop it and see Marie at It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland. It's all about health for you, for your family. There's vitamins for children, all different types of teas, all different types of spices. Boy, what a difference it'll make. Shop local. Stop it and see the Queen of Health. It's Marie. And It's My Health, 1099 Menden Road in Cumberland, diagonally across from Davenport Restaurant, right in that historic white church. It's all about health. It's all about your health. At It's My Health. Check out DePietro.com, DePietro.com, all our links to social media, exclusive stories and videos waiting for you at DePietro.com. And Dan McGowan, I'm just curious, before we move on to Roadmap, and again, folks, it's Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe. What was the mood in the room? I mean, was it, you know, I get it that it's everyone, it's lighthearted and it's not the time, but what was there any buzz on, you know, I mean, let's face it, this is kind of a crisis time in Rhode Island with what's going on with the bridge.
I met it head on. I joked about the bridge. I pointed out again, but my sister flew in from Seattle. And I said, unfortunately, the people, you know, from East Providence had a longer trip in. And,
oh, wow.
Cracked the room up a little bit. I will say, in the cocktail hour, it was the only thing people were talking about. Everybody wants to know, is it going to be a replacement? Yeah. Everybody wants to know. And you know what? I should say, everybody wants to know about what's going to happen. But the real truth is, and I think you're dealing with this constantly from everybody you talk to, everyone just has a story they want to tell you
right.
about how terrible the bridge is.
Yeah.
And that's, this thing has, I guess it's not a surprise, but this has broken through in a way that I can't think of anything.
No.
You know, 38 Studios being the one thing that maybe comes to mind, at least in my career here
right.
in Rhode Island.
Nah.
But I don't think it's that either.
No.
Everybody, you know, had some story about, oh, it was, you know, I was in traffic on the weekend and it's terrible. And so there is a, while this was a festive and kind of joyous occasion, I think you hit it on the head. There is a little bit of a, you know, kind of frustrating undercurrent that everybody's carrying with them.
And Dan McGowan, I believe last Saturday morning, you posted on Twitter, was it 83 minutes, 86 minutes?
That it was 66 minutes okay. from the Massachusetts line to 95. 66 minutes, and then it was 70, I believe it was 78 minutes, they said, to TF Green. It was stunning. And I'll tell you, that was, well, I travel the bridge fairly regularly. My gym is in East Providence, you know, obviously, because I used to work at Channel 12.
Yep.
And so I go over that bridge pretty regularly, and I've dealt with the bad traffic. I had never seen that one. And I know people, lots of people are going to have stories and say, well, I've been in worse, things like that. I mean, on a clear Saturday morning, late morning, you know, getting from basically from Target and Seekonk to 95, not even to anywhere else, not even out of Providence yet. It was a 66 minute trip, and it seemed like it was every bit of it. It was brutal. And after I tweeted that, I know you engage with it, lots of people engage with it. I was getting messages from people who were in the same traffic saying, oh my God, this is just terrible, because it wasn't like, my understanding is there was an accident at some point, but there wasn't some, you know, big wreck that would block all the lanes and you'd say like, oh, okay, well, it is what it is. No, this was, you know, I think a relatively small car crash that ended up kind of holding up traffic for virtually the entire day. I mean, we ended up having to go back over the bridge for something else, and then coming back at, you know, early nighttime, it was still pretty crowded. It wasn't as bad, but it was still pretty crowded.
We're speaking with Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe. Dan McGowan, one final thing about the bridge. So, let's see, it's Thursday, Tuesday night, I went to, there was a police scene in East Providence, nothing major, but when I was coming back there, you tell me, this idea that they're going to tighten the lanes and they expect everyone to just go 40 miles an hour, I find right now there's very little room for error when you're navigating and going, you know, around some of that. I don't like the idea at all that there's going to be three lanes of traffic and smaller lanes.
Yeah, I'm starting to kind of venture in that direction too, for the same reason. You just think about kind of the first part about this is that the, you know, you're naturally, I think, early on, not going to follow. You're going to see times where people aren't going to try to follow the speed limit. It's going to get messy, I think, really, really fast.
Yeah.
But those lanes, they're going to be very, very narrow. And really, I mean, just think about any time, you know, forget the let's say the people being reckless. Like if you're driving 60 miles an hour, you get an accident. I don't have a ton of sympathy for you, other than I don't want to see anybody get hurt. But so put aside kind of reckless driving, I would say the thing about this is, you know, you get a little fender bender in that three lane, structure at any time where there's kind of rush hour. And I think it's going to be even harder to get tow trucks in there.
Yeah.
To get, you know, if you do need an ambulance or you need it, you know, you need anything like that. I think you're going to have a scenario where potentially you're going to have more people kind of closer to it. And it's going to be really harder to actually break up. But I will say, in fairness, you and I are not engineers, and so we'll take their word for it. But when you just look at it, you know, the common sense here suggests this could be a real, real challenge.
Folks, again, we're speaking with Dan McGowan of the Boston Globe. And, Dan, I want to stay with your parade. Dan McGowan is going to be the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade. It's next Saturday in Providence. Governor McKee did not go to the dinner last night where they kick it off to welcome in and honor who's going to be the Grand Marshal. Dan McGowan, I remember vividly, it was either last year or 22, Governor McKee at the parade, and he was having a good time. He even chugged some beer a little bit.
Last year.
It was last year. So here's my question. With everything going on right now, does he show up and march in the parade next Saturday?
Well, he gets the first test this Saturday because the Pawtucket St. Patrick's Day Parade is March 2nd. So we'll get a sense there. My guess, if I was betting, I would say no march, but he shows up at Patrick's Pub on Smith Street afterwards one thing about that I will say, and I can't remember if he marched last year. It's kind of a little bit of a blur. He did come, and to his credit, he was on video, he chugged a beer, and he definitely had a good time. I think the Providence St. Patrick's Day Parade is often very much kind of mayoral-centric. It's sort of I remember noting last year, I think I told you this, that Brett Smiley, it was the first time that I really had ever seen him interact kind of, I guess, with the masses, and he eats it up. He loves it. If you're going to be the mayor of Providence, that's what you got to do. So it'll be interesting to see if the governor. I'm interested to see if the governor goes tomorrow. On Saturday. I'm interested to see if the governor's there for our St. Patrick's Day, and then of course the week after is Newport, which is I think generally considered the big one in Rhode Island.
Propane Plus, call them today. Heating and cooling in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209. In Massachusetts, 508-252-3359 for Propane Plus. Three generations you can always depend on Propane Plus for all your heating and cooling. Call them today, 401-885-4209. Three generations, they're available 24/7. For service and delivery, and they're going to serve you for a very long time. They have a great user-friendly website. You just log on at propaneplus.com, and then you type in your zip code, residential, commercial, Propane Plus, heating and cooling, always there for you. Give them a call today in Rhode Island, 401-885-4209, in Massachusetts, 508-252-3359, the Johnson family, three generations. Heating and cooling, you can always depend on Propane Plus. Dan McGowan, he was last seen really available to the press was that press briefing last Wednesday. Thursday, he's then down in D.C. End of the week, heats up the whole thing about the sanctuary state and then plus the draft report leaked about the bridge. As we're speaking right now, he is not, to my knowledge, he hasn't done any interview with the press. He's kind of been unavailable this week.
He's been very unavailable. He is doing an executive order signing today at Rhode Island College this morning.
Right. Okay.
And so it will. I think that'll be the first time that that he really faces the press, given the question about what happened at the ACI, the draft report, that kind of thing. I think that's right. I think this will be the first time he really faces it. I never understand the politicians that do that call the event for something completely unrelated, because unfortunately it overshadows whatever
yes.
you're doing, because everybody comes, they have no one is going there to talk about whatever Rhode Island College is doing, even if it's a good thing. It's all about let us ask you 50 questions, and you must wish you'd go back to, I'm not sure he needs to go back to daily press conferences, but maybe once a week it would actually be kind of good if he would just kind of answer everything and give everybody a little bit of sound, and most importantly, it's not about giving a sound, it's about actually answering important questions about what's happening in our state.
Dan McGowan, you wrote your column. Tell us about your lunch with Congressman Gabe Ammo.
Yeah, it's funny, he's really starting, talk about trial by fire. He comes in and he you know, immediately has to deal with a, you know, war in the Middle East, still dealing with the war in Ukraine. What I wanted to talk to him about was those issues, and then of course he's this, you know, he's very smooth and polished when it comes to talking about his experience in the White House. He's been really preparing that even longer than his, you know, run for Congress, and I really wanted to kind of drill him down on President Biden and just understand sort of what. You know what he sees, and you know you couldn't get him anywhere near the. You know, yeah, maybe he's lost his fastball a little bit, but you know, it's still better choice than the Republican kind of thing like that. Which is what I think the message going forward is going to have to be. But he did make an interesting point. He's not the first person to talk about this, but he said he thinks that, you know, everybody's up in arms. You look at the polling, not good for President Biden, but once it becomes crystal clear to people that there's only two choices, you're either going to, you know, elect Donald Trump or you're going to elect Joe Biden, that people will say, will essentially, these are my words, not his, but will essentially suck it up and say, you know what, I don't want the chaos that President Trump, you know, brought, especially towards the end of his one term. You know, I'll deal with Joe Biden and essentially, you know, president by committee, with all these cabinet officials and things like that. I think that's the case that he's going to make. It's got to be a little more charming than that, but that's sort of where he falls. And then it is true, you know, he's on that Middle East subcommittee that was in fact led by David Cicilline. So he's getting some of the intel. He's very talkative about. He had a meeting with the King of Jordan, and you know, they're talking about making sure that the Middle East is safe and is not, you know, that the war doesn't extend beyond Gaza. So he, you know, he's got his hands full for a freshman congressman who is in the minority party. He is certainly getting himself in the mix. And I'll know, you know, he went to that Munich security conference that Sheldon Whitehouse attended. You can see already, you know, Sheldon Whitehouse was very clear. He voted for Gabe Amo. He likes Gabe Amo, their former campaign staffer. You can almost see Sheldon sort of taking a special liking to Gabe Amo. And I think that could elevate Gabe Amo, you know, especially as we talk more and more about who's going to run for Senate someday, who's going to replace these guys. I think Sheldon Whitehouse wants to elevate the presence of Gabe Amo.
I'll just say this, Dan McGowan, and then here's a really interesting roadmap today. But in your conversation with Congressman Gabe Amo, Dan McGowan, I this business of, you know, he was overseas and they're all worried about Trump and please, America, don't do that. I just don't think I'm hearing that as a concern among people of what other countries think. There just seems to be, you have President Biden going to the border. There certainly seems to be a big focus right now that people are more focused on America. We got to take care of America. I'm not convinced. I haven't heard that so many people are concerned about what our allies may think, but I think that was interesting. He said that to you.
I think it's, you know what? It's a really good point, John, because the thing about this is I believe him. I do. I think certainly our NATO allies are concerned about President Trump. But to your point, do the American people care? I mean, we're in a very isolationist kind of moment in this country right now. And I think it is a fair point that may not actually be the winning argument here. I think the winning argument is probably the other one. It's look, President Trump kind of caused a lot of chaos. You hear what he says. Do you really want to go with him again? But if you try to shove, our great allies don't like him down people's throat, I think that may actually hurt him. It certainly in many parts of the country, it will, in fact, hurt President Biden.
Folks, you hear me mention roadmap. It arrives weekday mornings right in your inbox. And Dan McGowan has a great one. I'm so glad you wrote about this. I had no idea the Rhode Island College women's basketball team is ranked third in the country, 27-0, with a huge, huge game.
Yeah, this weekend they begin the NCAA tournament, Division III tournament, At Rick, they'll play 8 o'clock tomorrow night at the Murray Center. And if they win, they'll play one more. They'll play Saturday, and then that would advance them to the Sweet 16 if they were to win. They did, in fact, go to the Final Four last year, and they got bounced by the eventual national champion. But they're building a little bit of a dynasty. Get this, Jenna Cosgrove, she's the coach of this team, 88-10 since 2020.
Wow.
That's the team's record. And they're loaded this year. So she's getting a lot of attention. I don't think she's going to spend much more time in Rhode Island. I think she's a hot commodity, and it's going to be a potentially a Division I coach pretty quickly down the line. But all this, so 80, you know, they're 27-0. Like you said, number three in the country. The coach is 8 months pregnant.
Wow.
if they were to win the national title, she will be induced, I think, 5 days after the national championship game. So cool story to get behind. By the way, if you want to go to the game, I believe tickets are under $5.
Wow.
If you want to go to the Murray Center on Friday night. And this is good basketball. This is, you know, Division III is not the – It is not like a Division I basketball by any means, but this Rick team is fundamental. They're very good. They blow everybody out. They beat everybody by 30 points for the most part this season, a handful of games. So they are a loaded team, and it'd be fun to support this team. I'll be there tomorrow night supporting the team right up the street from me.
Folks, again, you hear me mention Roadmap. It is filled with links. Dan McGowan breaks news. And as the Grand Marshal of the St. Patrick's Day Parade, Dan McGowan, if you'd be so kind to extend that to everyone who's listening.
I feel like I should give you an Irish prayer, but unfortunately I don't know any. very simple, folks. Send me a blank email, rinews@globe.com. I'll know what it is, rinews@globe.com. I will sign you up. You'll start getting it first thing tomorrow morning.
Dan McGowan, great job. It's going to be very exciting for you. We will talk to you next week, but the parade and Jack and... This is going to be very exciting for you. Great job, and we'll see you out there.
All right. Thanks so much. See ya.
For all your tree needs, call Yankee Tree today. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln. Call Yankee Tree at 401-439-6028. Whether it's tree removal, stump grinding, tree pruning, emergency service, bucket truck service, even Bobcat service, you can depend on Yankee Tree. Remember, 24/7 emergency services available. They are fully insured, licensed arborists. Yankee Tree. With all these storms, don't let some dangerous branches fall onto your home or business. Call Yankee Tree today, 401-439-6028. The tree trimming experts in Lincoln, you can depend on Yankee Tree service. Call them, 401-439-6028. Free quote, 24/7 emergency service, Yankee Tree Service. There when you need them, 401-439-6028. You're listening to the John DePietro Show. Folks, I always tout our website just because it has exclusive stories and video. It has links to On the Scene live stream. Remember, there's no vowel I. It's DePetro.com, DePetro.com. You can also reach me that way if you'd like to get in touch with me. DePetro.com. Log on, and then links to Facebook and YouTube. Everything we have, it's all waiting for you right there at the website.